Sure good to see each one out. It is a big crowd. But I have some friends that I invited, and they're here tonight. We want to say thanks for coming. I know you could have done a dozen other things tonight, but we appreciate you taking the effort to come, and I trust that you've been blessed and that you will yet get another blessing as we look into God's Word. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. If I was to put a title on the message this evening, it would be The Certainties of Salvation. The Certainties of Salvation. And I do thank Cassidy for giving me a little bit more time tonight. Verse 12, just one verse. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Tonight we'd like to look briefly at 7 points, and only briefly. First, a knowledge of him, Jesus Christ, and then a faith in him, and then a surrender to him, then assurance of him, a confidence in him, an experience with him, and a testimony for him. You'll say, but won't get out in time. I guarantee you will. I already promised someone we'll do it. First, a knowledge of him. Paul says, I know whom. Let me say at the very beginning of the message tonight. Do you know him? Let me say it like this. Those who might be saved, how well do you know him? You know, back here in the Bahamas, we would use this slang, if you want to say it that way. If you want to know a person, you got to live with him. My friend, let me tell you tonight, if you're a Christian, first, if you really want to know Jesus Christ, you've got to live with him in the book, in the Word. That's the only way. He speaks to us through the Word. And that's how you know a person, by their speech, by their actions, what they're saying. Paul says, I know him. Paul says, I've had that experience with him on that Damascus road. Now let me ask another question for those who might not know him. Have you ever had that experience? Has there ever been a time in your life that you acknowledge to God that you was a sinner? Have you ever asked him to forgive you for those sins? If not, my friend, tonight, I say it with all the love of my heart. You really don't know him. That's sad to be brought up in a country like this or in the United States where the gospel has been made so plain. Have you ever had that Damascus Road experience? If not, why not tonight? Paul says, I know in whom I have believed. Secondly, we must go ahead, a faith in him. Paul says, I know in whom I have believed. Again, have you ever believed? Not just to believe there's a God. The devils believe and tremble. But has there ever been a time when you place your faith in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, you really don't know him. If you have, you know him without beyond the shadow of a doubt. Paul says, I have believed. I trust that you have tonight. You see, that's saving faith. Faith when you really take God at his word. Someone has said, a little faith will get our souls to heaven. And that's true. That's all we need is a little faith. But great faith will bring heaven down to ourselves. Faith sees the invisible. Faith believes the incredible. And praise God, faith receives the impossible. Jim Ryder put it like this, didn't he? My faith has found a resting place. Not in the wise hookery, I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. That's all we have is the blood. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died. Ain't that enough? And that he died for me and you. Have you ever believed? Have you ever took him by faith and received him as your Savior? And if you have, you could say with Paul, I know whom I have believed. Thirdly, a surrender to him. Paul says, that which I have committed to him. Paul knew what it was to surrender his spirit, soul, and body to God. Young people, let me challenge as well as middle-aged and old. Have you ever surrendered a total being to him? He will have nothing less than every single bit of us. Paul says, I committed it to him. Every piece. Proverbs 3, 5, 6 says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. And that's the part I want to get at. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Young people again, my heart goes out to you. In all your ways acknowledge him. Don't be ashamed of him. I'm going to get to that a little bit later. But in every way acknowledge him, and it's a promise goes with it. He shall direct your path. You want direction for your life. All your ways acknowledge. Oh, I pray God you would do that tonight. Simply let go and let God have his way. A knowledge of him, a faith in him, a surrender to him. But fourthly, an assurance of him. Paul says, I am persuaded. Paul says, I got full confidence. Full trust in him. Paul, I would say, Paul, what makes you have such confidence? Why are you so confident? Why are you so persuading that he'll keep that? Why do you have such an assurance of your salvation? I think Paul would say, I'll quote Jesus' words. John 5:24 says, the Lord said, most assuredly I say unto you, he who hears my word and believes it, hath everlasting life. He who listens to it, he who receives it, he who obeys it, hath everlasting life. Notice it didn't say that they will have eternal life. Oh, you said, I thought that's what it said. No, it didn't say they will have eternal life. It's that you got it right now. Have, right now, you have eternal life. No doubt. And shall not come into judgment. Boy, I like that. Not here, nor the future. Why, Paul? Why will I have to be judged? Oh, because Christ has paid the penalty at Calvary's cross. Hallelujah. What a Savior we have tonight. An assurance of it. I come across this little poem some time ago. And it falls in line with the message. It's called Full Coverage. Let me read it. I have an insurance policy written in the blood of the Lamb, sealed by the cross of Jesus, redeemable wherever I am. That's a good insurance policy, isn't it? The company will never go bankrupt. It is bonded by God's promise truth. It will keep every word of the contract exactly what it says it will do. You ever had a coverage like that? Listen at the last verse. No collector will ever come calling. I like that. It was paid on Calvary's tree. Listen at these last two lines. It ensures you for living and dying and for all eternity. Do you have the coverage? If you got it, you're insured for eternity. I trust you'll have it before you leave the building tonight. Fifthly, a confidence in him. Paul says, he is it. I tell you, no one else could say that. If I was depending on what I could do, I would have lost my salvation 1,000 times. But I'm depending on what he can do and what he's already done. He is able. Paul says, I've got full trust in him. And I know no better place to take you than to Romans 8, 31 through 39. Let me just read a bit of it to you. Paul says, if God be for us, who can be against us? I tell you, no one. Who can lay a charge, Paul says, against you? No one. Why, Paul, can't someone lay a charge against me? Because it is God that justifies. That's why. Paul says, who can condemn us? No one. Why, Paul, can't anyone condemn us? Says because Christ died for us and paid it in full. Says, who can separate us? No one. And Paul gives a list why we cannot be separated. Paul says, not even tribulation, not even distress, not even persecution, famine, peril, sword. And he goes on and on and on. And he gets down to the end. And he said, he's trying to make sure that we get the message. And he says, neither any other created thing shall ever separate us from the love of God. Beloved, he is able to keep that which we have committed. The outcome, no one can separate us from God's love. I'm reminded of a story of a sort of uneducated believer, but boy, did he have assurance of his salvation. One day he was talking to a friend. He says, you know, if God was to take me to the mouth of hell, his name was Pete. And he says, in you go, Pete, because that's where you belong. I would say, God, you know you're right. That's where I do belong. But if you're to throw me, cast me into there, you'll have to cast your dear son with me, because I and your son are now one. Nothing can ever separate us from his love. Sixthly, an experience with him. Paul says at the beginning of the chapter, I also suffer these things. And boy, did I appreciate Glenda singing that song tonight. Because it's just what I needed for this. Suffer means to bear with endurance. That's what Webster would say. Or to sustain loss. Paul says, I'm willing to sustain loss. I'm willing to bear with endurance. To suffer for him, the one who has suffered so much for me. And I want to go to Peter. And this is what Peter says. And it went right with what Glenda was singing. 1 Peter 2:20. For what glory is it? If when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patient. No glory in that when we deserved it. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, and ye take it patiently, this is acceptable unto God. You say, Freddy, someone treats me wrong. I'm to keep quiet. Someone does me harm. Unjustly, and to keep quiet. Let me say this. The greatest example we have is the Lord Jesus. I believe Brother Steve brought it out already, isn't he, Benny? Let me ask this. Does anyone ever spit in your face? I think you'd have to say no. Has anyone ever plucked the beard from your face and pulled the flesh with it? You'd have to say no. Has anyone ever whipped you to pull your back to shreds and put you on a cross? I think you'd have to say no. He's the great example. And the scripture said this. He opened not his mouth. Beloved, what an example for us. Let me say this. If we suffer for being loyal to Christ, there are three results to follow. God overrules the suffering for his glory every time. And he uses the suffering to bring glory to others. And he blesses the one who suffers for his name. That's worthwhile suffering for. Oh, may God help us to be willing to suffer with it. Finally, just another couple of minutes and we're finished. A testimony for him. And this got to my heart today. I wanted to even leave it out. Says I'm not ashamed. Paul says I'm not ashamed. Are we ashamed of him? Young, middle-aged, and old. How many times when we brought to a point to witness do we just keep quiet? How many times we've had opportunities, maybe even today, and we let them slip, never to get them again? Oh, don't be ashamed of him tonight. He's worth standing up for. One who would give his life to stay on that cross and be forsaken of his God and take all my pain. All your pain, all your suffering that you should endure and I should endure forever in hell. I tell you tonight, Christian, he's worth standing up for. Be a testimony for him wherever you go. The psalmist said this, let me not be ashamed of my hope. Oh, may God help us never to be ashamed of him. The Lord said this, and with this verses, I'm going to close. Whosoever shall be ashamed of me, in my words, in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also will the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father and his holy angels. Friends, tonight, when he comes in all his glory, and the glory of the Father and that dazzling splendor, I ask myself the question before I come into this meeting. Will he be ashamed of me? Will he be ashamed of you? Or will we hear, well done, good and faithful servant? Or if you don't know him tonight, could it be possible you could go out without him and hear those words? Depart from me. I don't know you. That would be sad to go from Spanish Wells like that. To go from anywhere like that. I'm going to close with just reading the verse of this hymn. Lord Jesus, I am waiting. Waiting thy dear face to see. Resting on thy promise. Thou wilt come again for me. Joy of thy returning, wondrous meeting in the air. Listen to me. Wonder of all wonders, I'll be there. Many in here will be there. But friend, will you be there? Let us pray. You know, right where you see this, you get out and we talk. We're going to get away from the message. Right where you're seated tonight, those of us who are Christians, and we're not been a testimony for him the way we should. We've been ashamed many times, right where we are. Why not ask him to forgive us, to forgive you? He says if you come, he's faithful and just to forgive you. And if you've never received him, and you don't know him, right where you're seated here tonight, why not ask him to forgive you? Invite him into your life tonight. You know, it'll be the greatest gift that you'll ever receive. Why not do it right where you see? Brother Frank is with us. We're going to ask him to close in prayer and give thanks for the food.